Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour mes amis, ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien tonight. This is Sybil Brunchen, and I'm coming to you live on Come Now, Don't Sulk, our weekly, or mostly weekly, broadcast here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We're part of the Here Be Monsters studio, and we are proud, proud and humbled member of the Here Be Monsters studio. It's been a wonderful few years that we've been broadcasting to you live, and we are brought to you by the daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you. Thank you. Our muse and our producer and our head coffer tonight, we're going to have to investigate what's going on there, is none other than the wonderful, the radiant, the mysterious, the insatiable, the extraordinary, the mystical, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, the founder of daughtersofisis.com, and the sponsor and producer and muse of Come Now, Don't Sulk. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight? I hear a cough.
Yeah, I have a little bit of the sinus stuff going on. Stuff is blooming down here.
Well, so you're coming from Port St. Lucie, so it's 80 degrees there. It's 13 degrees
not
up here.
It's not.
Well,
I swear
it's
not.
It's close enough, and you've got pollen down there, so at least, you know, you've got flowers that might be producing some allergens and stuff, right?
It's true, yes, we do. I'm looking at the magnolia and the frangipani is starting to bud. And
you have bougainvillea too, don't you? Don't you have bougainvillea all over the place down there?
Yeah, we actually do. We have some on the picket fence out there,
I love bougainvillea. I have a cough as well, and mine is, I guess, that midwinter, end of winter, like dry respiratory, whatever it is that you've been inhaling dry heat, and, you know, even humidifiers don't help. So I can't blame it on pollen because we don't have anything up here yet. Before we get, let me do some housekeeping, as they say on QVC. Whenever they start a show on QVC, they always say, well, let me get the housekeeping out of the way. And that's the facts and figures. Again, we're being brought to you, ladies and gentlemen, by daughtersofisis.com. That's all one word, daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And we are on mostly Monday nights, most every Monday night, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. So if you're listening in right now, wherever you are listening in with people from all around the world who are hearing this program simultaneously in all 24 time zones. So there are people listening to us in Australia and South Africa and Germany and I won't say in Ukraine, but I would hope so, but they have other concerns tonight. And I would encourage you to call in tonight.
Beirut.
What is it?
We have a few listeners in Beirut.
In Beirut, which is like – Beirut is as calm and quiet as can be now compared to Ukraine. Our phone number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Feel free to join our conversation tonight. We would look forward to having you. Before we take any calls, though, I want to ask Gwendolyn, in this troubled world, as February comes to a close, I think we've got a new moon situation astrologically coming up. Do you have a fragrance that we can look for on daughtersofisis.com that might be soothing or mind-expanding or armor-piercing, bullet-repelling? What do you have for us? Do you have a fragrance that I could spray on myself to ward off anti-tank rockets? What have you got in your magic bag of tricks there?
That would be quite a feat, wouldn't it?
Yes.
You know,
I'd buy a gallon of it.
I'm going to suggest one of my travelers, Sweet William, because it really can take you away. It's the mountainside. It's a walk in the mountainside. And it's a blending of, I got a hold of some Sweet William flowers dried and put some oil up with them and carrot seed and sweet marjoram and the beautiful milfoil or yarrow flower. It's a wonderful scent. It's clean. It's expressive. And it's very... It reminds me of East European kind of a feel. So I thought, why not Sweet William, you know?
I love the flower itself. It's a beautiful flower. It's a beautiful little wildflower. It's very pretty. I love that.
It is. It's made for protection and honor is its properties.
Oh, that's good to know. I love how the Victorians gave meanings and secret sort of symbolic meanings to each flower so that if a man gave flowers to a woman, he was sending her a message, of whatever that flower represented. And it was kind of like birthstones, you know. It was sort of an agreed-on wisdom about each birthstone or each astrological sign. Well, it was an agreed wisdom on what flowers meant and what they symbolized. I love that. Sweet William, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's lovely to know. We have callers. I'm going to let Gwendolyn open the switchboard up and invite our callers. And I have an idea who's one of our first callers.
Yes, our buddy, Mr.
Good evening,
Johnson.
Folks.
Good evening.
Good.
Wayne.
I'm going to introduce Wayne to the home audience. Wayne Johnson is one of our regular panelists. He is indeed our Bennett Cerf to my Dorothy Kilgallen and Gwendolyn Darlene Francis. So
oh, God.
Just need a fourth.
I love it.
And we'll
I love
be
it. I wear the bad
she couldn't. She couldn't hold a drink. I mean, give me better.
Actually, he's more of like a Louis Untermeyer, but whatever. Wayne, how are you tonight?
I am doing well, and thank you for asking, Sybil. Precious.
Oh, well, thank you for calling in. I posted an ad with the Ukrainian flag on it and with my wonderful Jack Podota photograph with me with my antique microphones. And I said that we had discussed canceling the show tonight because were we being frivolous in the face of a really extraordinary catastrophe, were we being frivolous by having the show? And then I said, although another way of looking at it is if we canceled, were we being respectful or were we being cowardly? And then if we did the show, what would we talk about? Would we talk about brownie recipes and knitting booties and the new litter of kittens? would that be out of bounds because that would be, again, disrespectful and frivolous. So should we do the show and just talk about it and just get it out? Just get it out. And for those of you that listen to our show regularly or perhaps every episode and those in reruns, which we have in our archive, which you can always go to, Wayne and Gwendolyn and I and others, Pamela and just Kimberly and so many people have gone back and forth on, do we talk about cheerful, fun stuff? Sometimes yes. Do we talk about political stuff? Sometimes yes. Tonight, I think that we're going to have to avoid the brownie recipes and compare notes on what we think. And I have the feeling that no Ukrainians are listening to our show tonight, unless they're domestic Ukrainians. You know, if we're lucky enough to have some people who are citizens now of the United States or refugees here who might be tuning in. But I would love to sort of radiate, if it's possible, our best wishes and our prayers and warmest wishes for peace, for comfort, for safety, for anything that you can imagine that is good and positive in such an appalling, appalling, frightening and infuriating situation. I don't know which word is better, infuriating or frightening. It's inexcusable. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to Gwendolyn. Why don't you start and just tell us where you're at on the whole thing, day to day, hour to hour, bulletin to bulletin.
Well, I'm not really watching CNN or MSNBC on it or anything, because I found that just drives you insane, and I have much better energy when I put it out there for, you know, global peace, which I would like to say. The day after tomorrow, the 2nd of March, is a brand new moon. It's a new moon, which is new beginnings and projects and your intentions for the month. And it's in Pisces. And this new moon is going to be one that is calming and relaxing and healing and reassuring. So I would intend in this time to put out that energy of love and forgiveness, but also to support everyone who's involved. And it's more than just Ukrainians. You think of the people of Russia who are standing in the streets, and 6,000 of them have been arrested and put in jail for protesting against Putin's war. This is not a war that is being done by any means for the people of Russia. This is about plutocracy and patriarchy and the greed for power, resources, and just taking what they want, as they always have. They all do. By the way, we have a Plutonian return coming to the United States this year, so we shall see how far that goes. But the people of the world are standing with the Ukraine, and except Saudi Arabia, India, and Pakistan, but they get most of their goods from Russia. It's extraordinary to see that. I'm really shocked and happy to see that people are saying no more war, enough is enough. Even Switzerland has said, you know. And I want to applaud the boys on the decks of that tanker who said, fuck you, to the Russian, I guess it was a swift boat, one of their swift boats that came in and said, give us gas. And they said, fuck you. And they blew them out of the water. Those are the kind of heroes that are popping up all through this. There are a lot of heroes right now. In the Ukraine, the young man who, you know, gave his life so that the Russians couldn't cross into the territories and over the border into his part of the Ukraine. There are many. The grandmother who put seeds in the hands of a Russian soldier and said, these put in your pocket so that when you lie dead on the ground, sunflowers will grow. She's hardy. That's a hardy broad.
Yes, indeed. My hero. That's a hero.
There are a lot of people, but I am really gladdened to see the world standing up and saying, you know, no. And they're not just saying no to Putin and his administrations and, you know, his army's so mixed up down there on the ground, they can't figure it out either. And that's kind of a good thing, or that is a wonderful thing. But it's not just the fact that the world is standing up and leadership is standing up, but people in countries are saying enough, not just to Putin, but what Putin is doing and what their leadership has gotten away with. There seems to be a real paradigm shift underway. Okay, I react a lot.
Wayne, where are you?
Well, okay. Just a little, you know, that 6 degrees of separation is only like one for us. The doctor who my wife worked for many, many years, his wife, who is also a nurse. She has
Hold on, Gwendolyn?
Family.
Yes.
Gwen,
yes.
Are you making something? Well, we can hear her. So you know. Go ahead, Wayne. Just
yes,
go on.
No, that's, thank you. That's all right.
She was making a cocktail of some sort. I guess she was putting the olives in or the maraschino cherries. But Gwendolyn, you're going to have to do it quietly.
She's twisting one up. Come on, let's just
shake. It'll have to be stirred, not shaken, whatever it is. All right, go ahead, Wayne.
I was going to say the physician that my wife worked for many, many years, his wife, who's also a nurse and would work in the office sometimes with her, she has extended family right now in Ukraine. She is her family descendant is from Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's posting stuff on Facebook and stuff, and you know what she's hearing from her family members communicating with them. Of course, this wouldn't, you know, I also lay this, Putin being empowered by that piece of monkey orange pudding, as you like to put it. I'll use your words.
Jiggling.
Yes. I know there was a lot of adverbs in there. Who basically enabled for 4 years of Putin to get away with anything and anything
oh, yeah.
he wanted.
Yeah.
And now that we have a real president and it's a real administration with responsibilities, Putin's like a spoiled little child that wants to stomp his feet and doesn't want to do it. And, like a precocious child is going to go ahead and do it anyway. That's what
yeah.
we're dealing with, I think.
I am, yeah, absolutely. The news, first of all, the number of people that neither remember nor studied Hitler's progress through the 30s and America's role in the unfolding of the 30s and then into World War II. Very briefly, for those who don't remember, and I'm going to do a thumbnail sketch here, but mm-hmm. Hitler, when he came to power, he, like a bad child in a playground, he insisted on getting more toys. And the toys he got were Austria and the Sudetenland, which is part of Czechoslovakia. And then he got, you know, both halves of Czechoslovakia. He got the Czech part and he got the Slovakia part. And he got mm-hmm. Hungary. And he kept taking things. And this was through the 30s. The World War II was not born overnight. It baked and festered for a long time, all through the 30s. And first of all, America was on the other side of the earth and was separated from the rest of the world by oceans. So that really meant something back in the 40s, the 30s and 40s. You know, you couldn't send a ballistic missile to New York in 15 minutes from the other side of the earth. So we were protected technically by our vast oceans on either side of us. So Europe, our attitude towards Europe and its mischiefs and its royalty and its monarchies that were decadent or whatever was, we don't want to get involved. We're prosperous. We've got enough food and oil and coal and we have lumber and we don't need to be engaged in the Europeans and their petty squabbles. And that's how World War I happened. And it was only we were dragged into that, and of course we went in unwillingly, but we went, and then we did it, and it was over, and then we had the prosperous 1920s, and lo and behold, then the crash came, and the depression, and we still didn't want any part of Europe. And so as Germany, and Hitler specifically, began to become more powerful, people either caved, or they made deals with the devil, like our eventual ally Stalin, who became just as horrible as Hitler and did just as many terrible things, more terrible things, but we don't talk about them. Hitler killed 6 million people. Stalin may have killed 20 million. He may have starved 20 million people in Ukraine, which was part of the Soviet Union at that time. So he wanted that land and he wanted the food, and he decided to eliminate his version of the Jews. You know, his race that he wanted to get rid of was the Ukrainians. And but we ignored that because it was the Depression, and again, it was on the other side of the earth. To make a long story short, people like Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of England, continued to try to make deals with Adolf Hitler. Everyone sort of said, well, okay, you can have the rocking horse, but please don't take anything else, okay? And Hitler would say, I won't. I just wanted a rocking horse, and I didn't want anything else, and I will be a good boy. And then, you know, a year later, it was like he wanted the tricycle. It's like, okay, well, you can have the tricycle, but please don't do anything. And he continued. He continued to take pieces of his neighbors. And he used Jews and gays and lesbians and physically and emotionally handicapped people and gypsies. He used everyone as enemies. Everyone was an enemy, and the Germans had to guard against them. He started with his neighbors, and then when he got all the neighbors that he wanted, then he had to, you know, start purging his own citizens, including the Jews. Thank God, that insane people don't get better. Thank God they don't get better, because he made more and more demands, and his demands became huge mistakes. And one of the huge mistakes, if he had never done it, he would have ruled most of Europe. And that was he crossed into Poland. And that was when his pal, Stalin, said, "No, I can't have you arming the border between Poland and Russia. You're crossing over." And England and France, as exhausted as they were by World War I and the crash, said, we've got to draw the line. We procrastinated on our chores. See, that's the thing about these people. If you procrastinate hoping for the best, it's like what, is it Maya Angelou or Toni Morrison said, pay attention to what your people tell you. Believe them when they tell you and show you who they are. Believe them.
But
they didn't believe him. And each time he did it, they kept saying, well, he'll stop. I mean, we had tons of isolationists in America. Tons. Republicans specifically, interestingly, who did not want to get involved with Hitler and said, we've got our own troubles here. Let's just fix our own troubles. We can't be involved in Europe and its stuff. Well, the problem, that's an interesting theory. It's an interesting way to run your house with a bad child in it. It's an interesting way to run your house with a bad child who has an axe in his hand and is running through the house. Okay, that it's interesting that you would say, I just am going to hope that he behaves himself, and I'll give him another present. Maybe that'll distract him for a while. But it doesn't work. It does not work. And so what we have is a replay of that. Hitler crossed into Poland. Stalin finally said nope, and England and France, and America still did not join for 2 years. This is one of the wonderful things. I would love to have been a fly on the wall between Japan and Germany, because if Japan had not bombed Pearl Harbor, we still might not have gotten involved. It was that they bombed U.S. territory, you know, and half of America didn't even know what Pearl Harbor meant. So it's like it's only that they bombed domestic territory for the United States that we finally went in. And there were even naysayers then. There were even people who said, well, no. I mean, Franklin Roosevelt mostly had support, but there were people that didn't want to get involved, whether they were sympathetic to Germany and felt that Japan was just, you know, trying to make the Pacific stronger, whatever those excuses were. The bottom line is it took us 2 years to join World War II. And of course, by that time, France was gone. Right. Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, gone. Right. Romania, gone.
Norway.
Well, Norway was a different story with Quisling. But yes, they had cooperated. Damn. Sweden continued to be passive, and so did Switzerland. And so Spain was basically acquiescing and cooperating silently. They weren't like active. They were sort of the pacifist country, the neutral country, but on the fascist side, as opposed to Sweden, which was neutral, but on the Allies side. But it's interesting how all of that went on. The United States did not join until we finally were bombed, and American citizens and American soldiers and, you know, naval personnel were killed. And then we finally joined. And of course, it was like, oh my God, the damage that had already been done. That Europe was in wreck. It's a miracle Paris was even still intact. London was ruined.
Yes.
And it's because it's people, nice people. I love that line in Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods, that song. You're nice. You're not this. You're not that. You're just nice. Nice people who don't want to they're all Sally Bowles in Cabaret. They don't want to think bad thoughts. They're like, oh, mm-hmm. Oak Cliff, I don't want to think bad thoughts. I don't want to think about bad things. Let's try to be happy. It's like, well, yes, that would be lovely, and it's a wonderful idea. But sometimes you can't deal with a child running through a house with an axe and a blowtorch by being nice. And you deal – and Gwendolyn said something beautiful before we did the show tonight. We were comparing Putin to Hitler, and you got to hand it to Hitler.
Charisma.
He had charisma. You watch film of him speaking, and it's like, oh, no, that's a compelling speaker. He's a compelling performer, and he had vision. He wanted architecture. He wanted he had a vision of a Valhalla Germany. He believed in his version of art, his version of aesthetics, the uniforms, the parades, the thing. I mean,
all,
I've got to say,
he was a despicable monster with a lot of class. A lot, I would say.
Yes, yeah. Putin is truly what Hannah Arendt was referring to. Hannah Arendt talked about the banality of evil in the 20th century.
Right.
She said that villainy and evil had changed from the 1800s. So in the 19th century, villainy was, as I've said to you both before, snidely whiplash, a man in a black cape and a black top hat with a mustache twirling it and with big black wonderful eyes and eyebrows saying, hey, the Farmer Ferguson, let me marry Nell or I'll take your farm from you. Well, that's, you know, that kind of villainy. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Jack the Ripper. There were people that were magnificently evil in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Bismarck was a Hitler of sorts, but he was more wonderful. I mean, Napoleon destroyed half of Europe all to unite it and everything. But I mean, some of his stuff is still existing for whatever he did that was wrong. We look back on Napoleon as being heroic, as being kind of amazing and iconic, certainly intelligent and certainly visionary. But as this time has gone on, the 20th century, it's villains. So we thought Hitler and Goebbels and Goering and everything were banal. Oh my God, Hannah Arendt should look at Putin. Even his eyes are dead. He's a sad, piggy eyed.
Yeah, he is
You look at his eyes.
The best thing he's done is he's gotten a black belt in judo, which was basically rescinded from him today. You know, the judo, right. International Judo Organization rescinded his honorary presidency of it or whatever. I mean, he's a sad little man who takes his shirt off and rides horses when he tries to bolster the fact that he's got a dick as small as Donald Trump's. So you know what I mean? It's like he's a sad little man. And he's making grotesque mistakes, as Hitler did. If the Japanese hadn't bombed Pearl Harbor, if Hitler hadn't moved into Poland, and then, of course, the ultimate mistake, which Hitler, he didn't pay attention to Napoleon. You cannot conquer Russia, but you can't walk into Russia and take it over. It's 12 time zones or something. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And they will simply
retreat
and let you in. Yes, in a way like China, but China never
had. And
then
they'll flank you.
Yes, exactly. But China never had the massive catastrophe that that Napoleon did. It was appalling. All his soldiers freezing to death, horses dying, everyone starving and freezing. And what did the Russians do? They either burned their crops or they reaped what they could and took it with them, and what they couldn't take, they burned. So they starved and froze their enemies. Hitler could have won World War II. He could have even won World War II if all he had done was taken Poland and then just armed the frontier with Russia and said, you keep Russia. I don't care. We were pals. Mm-hmm. All I want is Poland. I'm never going to walk into Russia, ever, 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 ever. Keep fucking Estonia and Latvia and Lithuania. Who wants them?
Mm-hmm.
I will simply sit on the Baltic now that I have Baltic Sea frontage.
That's not how those men are built. And I got to say,
exactly.
even if he hadn't walked into Russia, I had a father who was in Patton's Third Army in a tank.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
From Africa to Italy. And I got to tell you, our boys, plus the English, we would have won. We would have won. The only way we really could have lost is if Hitler's scientists had come up with the rockets that they were working on.
The B-2.
I don't know. I will give in to that, I guess. But I must tell you that if he had stopped that progression at any point, if the Japanese hadn't bombed Pearl Harbor, and if he hadn't gone any farther than Poland, Mussolini would have kept Italy, but Mussolini, look at Mussolini. He extended himself too far. The Italians are good for pasta, food, and music, and sex. They are not good at owning Africa. It's just like, why would you do that? Don't do that.
And it was Ethiopia at that, too. I mean, come on, right?
Which is Africa. He should not have gone into Africa and taken Ethiopia. He had no business. It's too far away from Italy to manage. You've got Egypt and Sudan. You've got all of those countries before you get to Ethiopia. Why would you do that? You can't go into the playground of life and say, I want this toy and this toy, and you're taking toys away from the other children, and then say, oh, and by the way, I'd like to have all the toys in a playground that's 3 miles away. What child would do that? No, you can't have everything. And these people, as I said at the beginning of this, is that fortunately insane people don't get well. So their insanity gets them a certain distance, and then they make the mistake of going that extra 6 inches. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Donald Trump, and I'm convinced, is thoroughly insane. I'm convinced he is a thoroughly sick person. And above and beyond his evil.
No,
I'm convinced
question.
He's sick. And
no,
narcissism
is a complete
collapse. He was damaged from childhood by his old man.
Right. I'm convinced I'm convinced that his evil is in direct measure to his illness. That's my opinion. And mm-hmm. that he, unfortunately, did not get far enough to be eliminated like Caligula
mm-hmm.
or Nero or any one of the other Roman emperors. I keep hoping, and I said this to Gwendolyn at the beginning of the show, before the show, I said, I keep hoping as they interrupt our programming on TV that the news is going to be that, and we have a direct, we have factual confirmed that Vladimir Putin has died in his office. He has been murdered by his own inner circle. Much as they attempted to do with Hitler, too late.
That's generally mm-hmm. how it goes down in Russia. You know, it's always on the inside. You know, not since the Bolsheviks, baby. There's been a lot of
Well, no, 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 but
that.
They may hide it. There's theories that, you know, Brezhnev was killed.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
There's theories
that
all these different people.
That's how they do it, you know, and poison is a big, they grab that from the czars, you know, poison.
Right.
I think Putin dreams of Rasputin at night.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
not kidding.
One thing I heard today on MSNBC during Joe Scarborough was the wonderful professor from the Johns Hopkins Institute was talking about 7 things that he found absolutely electrifying, and Mika had him recite them and then elaborate on them. First of all, Sweden, I haven't heard about Switzerland, Gwendolyn, but I did hear about Sweden, and Sweden is electrifying. Sweden has actually finally gotten off the toilet seat and taken a stand on something. It's like, it's absolutely ridiculous. They've been surrounded by, you know, mischief for 100 years, and they have continued to play this like blonde, blue-eyed fairy tale thing of being like, oh, but we are nice people, and we like our Kugeln or whatever. It's like, you're a bunch of bullshit, what you are. You're a bunch of bullshit. You know, and so they sent not just money, but weapons to Ukraine. Weapons. Right. Sweden.
Yeah.
Putin has done what we've been hoping for, which is to unite NATO. And I am thrilled that NATO includes now Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. Thank God the Baltic states are in there. And my only fear is that Finland and Sweden will not join NATO, and they should be seduced. As anything possible should be done, and shame on Finland if it doesn't make the move, because Putin cannot fight wars on all fronts. So if Finland simply notified us that it wanted to join, what Putin's going to send armies, and their border between Finland and Russia is enormous. He could never ever hope to conquer the Finns, and the Finns are getting galvanized now. They're angry.
Well, yes, they are. And the other part about that is that the German army itself, its ground motion army, while very deadly still, are decrepit, ancient war vessels there. Those tanks are not brand new. They have their training apparently has been pretty bad, or their leadership is just all over the place, because they're getting lost just crossing borders, knocking on doors asking which way to Kiev, please. I mean,
Glenn, let me interject real quick.
Sounds kind of you know, we shouldn't be laughing, but it is a little bit funny, but it's also quite truthful. The Russian army, the Russian navy, all of it is where they put their money was in technology. They put it into the internet and working a war that way. Well, it don't cross over to the ground, you know?
Let me interject real quick.
Yeah, please.
Allow me to interject real quick here. I'm going to talk about, like, my daughter's generation. My youngest daughter's 28.
Right.
And, of course, these kids are into, not Facebook, but TikTok and, you know, the other things, other kind of things like that. Well, you know, the Russian tanks are running out of fuel. Their supply lines suck. And if they're attacked, the crews are getting out, running away like hell. And on TikTok, these Ukrainian kids are crawling in and putting on TikTok, okay, here's where the key is. This is how. Now you put this lever here, and that puts it in gear here, and you push this pedal, and then you can drive off with the tank.
That's fabulous.
They're taking the Russian tanks, putting a little bit of fuel in them, and using them and driving them off. And not only tanks, but all the other military vehicles. They're putting this stuff on TikTok, so every young child, you know, every young person can Google it or TikTok it, look at it, and say, oh, okay, I got this.
Yes. I hope that our technology is somehow the young people – and the technology, we know so many things we can criticize young people for, and we know so many things we can criticize our technology for. I'm wondering if this is a war that could be won, and this could be a dictator who is taken down by our technology and by our TikTok.
Yeah.
All the frivolous things that we have as Americans, I've always said that we should never, ever have gotten into Vietnam and all of that. What we should have done was we should have exported Coca-Cola, McDonald's, rock and roll, television, sitcoms.
That's right.
The most corrosive and dangerous thing we could have done is to export our happy American life.
Culture.
Our stupid, decadent, silly, comical,
yep.
You know, Cadillacs with fins, Elvis Presley. That is deadly. And what happens is you corrupt all of those people in all those other countries. You say, oh, no, we live happily here, and we want you to eat McDonald's and have Coca-Cola. We want you to have record players. We want you to have all starting back in the 1940s. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Russia would have fallen immediately. We should have we were dropping candy in Berlin,
bags
of candy in handkerchiefs. We should have been flying over Russia, dropping them those cute little portable record players.
But the thing is that American culture has inundated every major culture on the planet. They follow rock and roll. They follow every kind of social, you know. Hierarchy we have here, they have, you know, except for England. England does it its own way, but they're a bunch of white breads who are doing the same shit.
well, wait a minute. England sent us the Beatles and Herman's Hermits and everything, but the bottom line is
Herman's Hermits.
They made it here. The Beatles made it here. Their kiss of success was because they became Americans. They became Americans, and that's the scary thing. What is so funny, you're right, Gwendolyn, we did export our culture, but we should have been exporting it to Afghanistan. We should have been exporting it to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
We should have corrupted everyone. We were doing it to white people. What we should have been doing it was we should have been doing it to Uganda. We should have been doing it to Syria so that people who were – but we were so prejudiced. We were only interested in exporting it to, you know, Italy.
Right.
but what we should have done was exported it to Pakistan.
Our movies have gone everywhere. You can be in Afghanistan and you can get those $2
now.
DVD ripoffs, but you could get 8-track. Apes when the, you know, of Jimmy Buffett back in the day there. Black market.
Yeah, but not like if we had exported it. We should have been exporting it.
Yeah,
we should have been exporting rock and roll terrorism. We should have been exporting our
Meatloaf
culture, not our weapon.
Meatloaf would have loved that line.
Yes, that's right. Rock and roll terrorism.
I mean, our cultural, musical, food, junk food, all of that, we should have exported that. The CIA should have been a conduit for McDonald's and for Coca-Cola. We should have exported it. We should have smuggled it into places. I can't think of anything that would have been more terrifying. People are smuggling heroin into our countries. We should have smuggled Coca-Cola into theirs. We should have smuggled as much of our lives into their world and watched what happens. Because once you've had Coca-Cola and a McDonald's and you've listened to rock and roll and you've seen Marilyn Monroe's boobs and whatever, all the things that we are, all the things, it's that wonderful song in M. Butterfly, Miss Saigon, where the pimp is talking about, you know, American culture, and it's in Vietnam, and he's Miss Saigon, you know, it's like that stuff contaminates. Mao Zedong was horrified by American stuff like that. You know, it's so I just think Ho Chi Minh terrified that people would want Coca-Cola. And so if we did that, that would be it. I'm back to the thing that Putin may do for the election. I'm hoping that Putin's cancer, what he is and what he stands for, is going to be the biggest destruction to the Republican Party in November.
Well,
I think it's fascinating what happened today.
It's rolling. Mitt Romney called them all morons at CPAC. I mean, he called them morons. Between Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney, I think you're going to see them vying for, you know, presidential status in the next big election. The thing that could happen that would be really wonderful is if there's a Trump side and a normalized side of Republicans, yeah. There'd be a split in the party, and the Democrats would take it all home and have a hoedown. I mean,
it would be Teddy Roosevelt and, William Howard Taft. Yeah. They'd split the vote in Republicans, and Woodrow Wilson would win. Exactly. You're right. I want to point out that it's no longer Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney. Today, Mitch McConnell openly attacked Marjorie Taylor Greene and that Gozar, whatever his name is or her name in Arizona, for going to the white supremacist convention. And they I can't believe that the Republicans, they're dragging the Republicans in. Mitch McConnell is finally having to grow a dick and say, you can't go to a white supremacist convention and chant Putin and criticize Jews and do all of that and be part of the Republican Party. You're staining us. We stink from you. And that's what's happening.
They have since Trump openly embraced it. But here's the thing. Isn't Marjorie Taylor Greene the one that was mispronouncing Gestapo as Gestapo? This is like the return of batshit crazy Buchanan. What was her name up there in Minnesota?
Something like
Bakken.
I'll have to look it up.
She's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, she's like Sarah Palin.
Palin, they were one and the same,
But Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah. Let me interject real quick. And like I said, back in 2005, like I was active in the Republican Party, but I was working with my congressman who was a very progressive environmentalist, would not take special interest money here in Maryland, Wayne Gilchrist. And we had a teabagger that was going to challenge him, and myself and some others, we went after him, and we took him down within less than a week. So, I mean, just totally wiped him out. And so they were having a fundraiser for Wayne Gilchrist, and we had, like, the seat of honor because, really, we made shit happen. And as a reward, I got a one-on-one with former vice president candidate Jack Kemp.
I remember you told us. Yeah.
And I warned him back then in 2005 of the Republican Party embracing the Tea Party. When I told him, I said, all they are is the white supremacists, the John Birch Society, the religious fanatics, and the Klansmen. That is what the Tea Party's made of. And, you know, we should not be embracing and giving validity to and validation to this group. His hubris, and he was repeating the Republican line at the time. This was Karl Rove and that, you know, crew that was controlling the Republican Party calling the shots. He said, they're nothing. There are good demographics to get whipped up at election time. You know, when it's time to whip up the nut jobs, they'll come out.
Right.
Well, I told him, I said, you're going to regret that you ever did that.
Right. Right.
Now the inmates have taken over the insane asylum.
It's just appalling. You and I have joked, the two of you and I have, you always laugh when I say it. Liz Cheney is the daughter of Satan. She is the daughter of Satan. And then Satan, his daughter, and Karl Rove, Lucifer himself, all three of them are done with the Republican Party. I'm flabbergasted. I can't, Kevin McCarthy, I would take him, strip him naked, and stuff him with nails at both ends and throw him into an oven. He has completely turned on Marjorie Taylor Greene today and on Gozar. He joined Mitch McConnell in condemning her and the white supremacists. It's like he should be killed as terribly as possible. And even he has finally said, I think maybe we've gone too far. And so what I'm hoping is that Putin will have continue to galvanize both. He'll galvanize NATO. He will get Sweden and Switzerland on board. He will get India to stop being abstaining from voting. He will mortify idiot Xi of China. And even right. Xi will say, oh, I can't be associated with this. This is too embarrassing. This is embarrassing. I can't become Mussolini to Putin's Hitler. I can't right. be a pal to this nightmare. And the ultimate thing would be that Putin will cause the Republican Party to fracture, and Donald Trump will be caught on the wrong side of that crack. And finally, people will say, oh, my God, I would have eaten Donald Trump's shit with a spoon, but he is absolutely a nightmare. He is a nightmare. And the fact that he continues to drag his feet on this and continues to backhandedly compliment, you know, he's complimenting Putin. And then, just, of course, Zelensky is the brave man, too. It's like, oh, my God.
Putin going in, it was a brilliant strategic move. That's something like that was basically Trump's own words. And if anybody doesn't listen to that and look at that and say, that son of a bitch has been bought and sold to Putin and pimped off.
My George said the other day that he felt that Putin absolutely has film or photographs or signed documents on Donald Trump, that there is a whole history there. You know, that he went over there one too many times to talk about hotel and casino deals over the last 40 years, 30 years. And he has, you know, he's been hiring Russian prostitutes and whatever.
Right.
And that's what he's got on him. I'm telling you right now, it's there's something that has gone beyond on the whole thing.
Right.
And I'm hoping that Putin in history is going to go down as the person who brought down Trump, that we couldn't do it, our country couldn't do it, but sheer embarrassment, like with Caligula, where Caligula had burned so many bridges that on the way out of the Circus Maximus, on the way back to the palace through some tunnel, his guards said, you know something, we don't know when you're going to turn on us yet. We just have to kill you. And it was like, no, you can't kill me. I'm a god. It's like, well, we can still cut your dick off, which is what we're going to do. I mean, they disemboweled him. They castrated and mutilated and disemboweled him. Nero, the same thing. Nero was driven to the point where he had to commit suicide. And then how many other emperors were disposed of who were lesser emperors but had to either kill themselves or were murdered in their beds or whatever? It's like someone has got to do something. But Georgia had better turn to Stacey Abrams and turn away from Marjorie Taylor Greene. That state has got to get itself together because you talk about a failed state. To me, Georgia's a failed state. There you go. You're done. Bye-bye. I mean, it's like ridiculous. Stacey Abrams is what we need to be doing there. Marjorie Taylor Greene is an embarrassment for the Peach State. You know, it's ridiculous. I want to ask you
Michelle Bachmann was up there in Minnesota.
Yes.
Yeah,
Very good.
It just came to me. Sorry. That was just Tourette's thing.
Me too. But I get those too. So we know Gwendolyn's not watching CNN or MSNBC, and by her own admission is going through a renaissance of creativity lately. She's like just a dynamo. What do we think? Should we not watch the news and just become incredibly prosperous people? Or I have no stock portfolio anymore, so, you know, it's like I've been riding up a storm, although I am watching CNN and MSNBC and even Fox. Oh, by the way, you've seen that Fox is towing the line now, too. They're congratulating the Ukrainians too little, too late. But, you know.
That's right. And the thing is to me, they're false words. It's like,
I agree.
You know, it's like someone, I found religion, and I'm going to pray for you in his name. Meanwhile, they're fucking you in the ass, you know, in a bad way.
I can't wait to see the warning that Gwendolyn puts on this episode of the show. Wayne, did you know that the agreement with Blog Talk Radio is that you have to put an R rating on it with like strong language used by Sybil Brunson and her friend Wayne Johnson? They will use expressions like, oh yeah, he's a real eat shit. And, you know, like, oh, she's a bite turd. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
We may as well go for all the bad. backwards. You know what? We may as well just rake them on out because it's the only way to purge the energy, I think. It's like you purge the energy out of
you. This when you're saying words like that, it is because you are telling the truth in a factual way that needs to be stated in those kind of terms and meanings.
I was looking on eBay about a week ago, and someone had put up for sale on eBay, what do you call them, the little stuffed dolls from World War II, from carnivals, American carnivals.
Oh,
and they had
Cupie?
The
Cupie dolls?
No, not Cupie dolls. What is it? No,
it's
okay, listen.
Cupie dolls.
No, it's not Cupie dolls. A Cupie doll is a doll that you get as a prize, and it's a cute
thing.
Okay. No, it's the thing that you throw the balls, the baseballs at, and they had a wooden base, and then they were filled with sawdust, and they usually had, like, sort of monster faces paint.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
What's the word?
I don't know.
Think of it after the show. Anyway, well, had a set of them of Tojo, they had a Japanese caricature, Mussolini and Hitler, and they were intact. They hadn't been beaten to death, and they were, you know, those stuffed things. Oh God, callers at home, call in. One of you will know what the word is. Anyway, they had a set of them, and there were three of them. And so you went to the carnival, and instead of throwing beanbags or baseballs at these goblin-looking things, you would throw it at Hitler, or you would write. And they had them. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a set of nesting dolls like the Russian things? And one would be Putin, and one would be the president of Belarus, and one would be, you know, whatever. I mean, it's like, oh, my God, we need to make some of those and have people go this spring to county fairs, and they can throw hardballs at Putin and, you know, his allies and everything. What allies? It would just be 500 Putin dolls lined up at a county fair, and you get
a
Cupie doll.
You got to throw a Trump in there also.
Yeah, well, the problem is that the people going, you know, I'm surrounded by red voters.
I know, yeah,
here,
right.
So.
Those that go to the carnival would be Trump supporters.
But but you know what's interesting is that it is squelching a lot of them. A lot of them are uncomfortable. They know that their hero defended Putin and continues to do so. And yet they claim, like the Law and Order Party and the Family's Value Family Values Party of January 6th. Now they've got, we're the American Loyalty Party. Are you? Really? Because I've got to tell you, the Republicans back in the 1950s spearheaded the McCarthy era, the witch trials, the anti-communism. I'd love to see what Roy Cohn and Joe McCarthy would say Donald Trump. What?
How about Ronald Reagan himself, the evil empire?
But Ronald Reagan's dead.
No. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Sorry.
Yes,
I'm
sorry.
I'm thinking 1950s McCarthy.
That's what I'm thinking. Yes, Joe McCarthy, Roy Cohn.
Right.
But Roy Cohn was Donald Trump's mentor.
Oh.
You remember that?
I do.
No.
So there's someone who was mentoring Donald Trump before he finally succumbed to AIDS. It's like, can you imagine what J. Edgar Hoover would say if he saw that Republicans were defending Putin? It's inconceivable.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Right.
Inconceivable. And yet here we are. It's like the end of Animal Farm, where the animals come from the barnyard and are peeking in the farmhouse. And it turns out the last lines of it are that the farmer, the humans and the pigs have become the same. They look like the same because the pigs have started wearing clothes. And
we have 90 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I was watching.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say it very quickly. I want to thank Wayne Johnson and Gwendolyn so much for being – well, Gwendolyn for being our producer. This has been Come Now, Don't Sulk. We got carried away with our subject tonight. We were brought to you, as always, by the DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. Do be sure to check out their page and see their wonderful products. We will be here next Monday night. You can find Gwendolyn and me on Facebook. You can find me at SybilSez.com. That's SYBILSEZ.com. And I will look forward to seeing all of you. Wayne, love you.
Yep.
Gwendolyn, adore you. And Gwendolyn, we'll see you this week. Please take care of that cough. And
I will.
We will see all of we'll see all of you next week. Keep Ukraine in your prayers, everybody. Okay? Good
Absolutely.
Night.
Good night, all.